This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So good, and only made better by our next guest, Mark, because I'm a huge fan of diminutive people in general. Same. I am one of them. This guy is on one of the... Wow. If you go for an all under 5'8" media team, he's hitting third in my book. Forget it.
And a kind man, because Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, we're told, is willing to skip first pitch of Phillies Braves for us. The question I have, Tim, is will you skip second pitch as well? I'd like to know how long we have you.
Yeah, I don't have a choice. And unfortunately, I'm in the under 5'5" sports writer category. I'm getting shorter as I get older. That's not a good sign.
I'm with you, Tim. I put 5'8 as the barrier because I'm 5'7 now, also getting shorter. And I kind of wanted a spot on the team hitting ninth and maybe get pinch hit for late in the game. But you are our number three hitter for those of us on the diminutive side.
Well, this is the only thing I've been. I went to high school, 10th grade, 4'11", 90 pounds, looking really good. So I'm used to this, believe me.
I was 10th grade, 4'11", 190 pounds, so there's that.
Right, there you go.
Speaking of coming up short, that's what the Giants keep doing in free agency, Tim. And so
nice.
That's the only transition I could come up with. I went with it. But anyway, go ahead and break it down for us right now. Where's Shohei Ohtani playing next year? What do you think of all this?
Well, I get asked this question virtually every day.
Every day.
And the answer is I don't know, and neither does anybody else. But let's keep a couple things in mind. It's going to cost, guessing, somewhere between $500 and $600 million to sign him. So that's going to cut down exactly how many teams can do this, given the price tag. He also has to be, I've been told this, he needs the comfort level that he's searching for. And like Anaheim, he loves pitching on that mound. He loves hitting in that batter's box. So that matters. And that doesn't mean he's going back to the Angels, but we'll just see if, you know, the Dodgers make their big push as we expect them to. Just not sure how much he loves playing at Dodger Stadium. The Yankees are going to be in. The Mets are going to be in. But look at his numbers at Yankee Stadium as a hitter. They're not very good. And I repeat, that stuff means something to him. So this is a story we're going to be talking about virtually every day until he signs, and it's going to be a fascinating winter, to say the least.
Is part of the comfortability also the roster of the team he would potentially join? And if that is the case, can the Giants put together enough of a inner structure for the present and the future to attract Shohei Ohtani?
Well, sure. He wants to go to a place where he's going to win also, because he hasn't won yet, and I know that bothers him. Do the Giants have enough of a package? At this point, I would say, I'm not sure. I don't think they do, but he could go to San Francisco and obviously be the exact star that they need, but it's going to take an enormous package, and then it's going to take an enormous amount of money. So I would put the Dodgers in the lead at this point, and you can't count out either New York teams, but this is a really, really interesting story, because we've never seen anybody quite like this guy.
Tim, I'm sort of interested in locking in on your point that he could be the star the Giants need. Let's talk about them needing a star, because none of us argue that. That is their big problem right now. I wonder how that fits into the overall perception of this team and where they're at from the national perspective. What do you think? What do you hear when the Giants come up? What are people saying right now?
Well, I think people are impressed with the way the Giants have played lately. They won 8 out of 10. They're averaging only 3 runs per game allowed. That's pretty good for a 10-game span. It looks like they're a better offensive team than they were last year, which isn't saying much. Michael Conforto has really helped out and done some good things. Lamont Wade Jr. has done some good things after a bunch of injuries last year. But I think everyone looks at the Giants and says, look, they play the game the right way, but they're going to be a 500 team at the end of the season. That's how I see it. That's how a lot of people see it. But this season has been so weird with the Mets having a lot of struggles. I'm here with the Phillies tonight. They've struggled badly. The Padres have too. The Cardinals lost 24 of their first 35 games. So all bets are off in the National League, but I just don't see the Giants having enough, to put these 8-2 10-game starts together and end up winning enough games to make the playoffs.
To what do you attribute some of these slow starts from some of the teams that you would expect to have been far better? Is it the sense that the regular season matters less because of the increase in playoff teams, or is it just the nature of baseball where some teams kind of start slowly?
Yeah, I just think it's the nature of baseball, and that's what makes the game so beautiful, is that the Padres were supposed to have this devastating offensive team, and they've had anything but that. The Cardinals were supposed to be the best team in the Central, and they were the worst team in the Central after about 6 weeks. The Mets won 101 games last year, and granted, they've had a bunch of injuries, but they've struggled badly. The Phillies went to the World Series last year. They've struggled even worse than the Mets. Again, this is why baseball is so great. Just when you think you understand, who's got what and how everyone's going to play, you find out you don't know, because the game is too good to let you get it right all the time.
Tim Kirkjian, ESPN, with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Tim, you're probably aware of this. The arrival of a couple of homegrown young players has excited this fan base. The front of the line is Casey Schmidt. And there are others, right? Matos and Kyle Harrison, who might be on the doorstep. Luciano is down at Double-A. What do you think this looks like? Homegrown young players, what do you think this looks like by the end of the season?
Well, Casey Schmidt started 2 games in a row at shortstop, which is a little tricky with Brandon Crawford there. They're trying to figure a few things out here, and now is the time to do it. And again, not to belabor the point with Ohtani, but if you can bring up some of those young guys and get them in the everyday lineup and get them acclimated to playing in the big leagues, and then you can start next year with some really good young kids who've got some major league experience, that might be enough to attract a star who sees, this team is going forward with a bunch of young players. So that will be the interesting part for the Giants. When do they call these guys up? How do they do? And can they keep them in the big leagues and find a spot for them to play all the time?
Part of the emergence of youth is the putting out to pasture of the older players, and that's kind of the Casey Schmidt, Brandon Crawford dynamic. What's the best way, Tim, for any team to take a player like Brandon Crawford, multi-time champion, gold glove winner, legend, and all the rest, and kind of slowly ease him out of the lineup?
Yeah, it's really hard to do. He's not a Hall of Fame player, but Mike Hargrove, who just managed it, the Guardians, Indians a long time ago, once told me, never, ever be the one who releases a Hall of Fame player. He had to do that to Dave Winfield. It's really hard to do. And again, Brandon Crawford's not in that category, but he has been a really good player for a long time. And then, they're just going to have to talk to him, see how Schmidt and others do, and go from there. But it's not an easy spot when you have to tell somebody you're not going to play every day anymore.
Hey, health has always been the question with someone like Mitch Haniger. I think there was some excitement when he was signed, and when he finally debuted. It's been a rough start. He hasn't even had 100 at-bats yet. But what are you seeing there, and what do you think is coming?
Well, Mitch Haniger's a good player, but he's had trouble staying healthy in recent years, and they're going to need him, because if they're going to make a run at the Dodgers at all, and again, I don't see that happening long term, if they're going to get past Arizona, which has been a big surprise, if they're going to stay ahead of the Padres, they're going to need as much help as they can get. Haniger can provide that, but obviously he's got to get healthy and get into some sort of rhythm.
Tim, a little bit of an out-of-left-field question, although it's more about the catcher position. Buster Posey, if I threw out his Hall of Fame candidacy to you when he becomes eligible, what do you think about that?
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means. I think it's semi-borderline, but I would vote for him. He was arguably the best player, everyday player, on three championship teams. He won a batting title. He won an MVP. He was the most important position player on that team for 10 years and for three world championships. So I know the career didn't last that long, but to me it lasted long enough, and I will vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Thank you for that answer, because that's been, I think, the consensus of the discussion, because some think slam dunk, others think borderline, and I think you put that absolutely perfectly.
Well, and it just shows you, when he went away, when he retired, the team did not respond particularly well. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Kirkchin, ESPN, with us on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Tim, before you go over there to get the 33rd pitch of the game that you're following, we've been talking tonight about a check-in on Farhan Zaidi's era, because during the offseason with the Correa stuff and everything, fans were very, very frustrated. But with this 8-10, 25 up, 25 down after 50 games, what's your perspective? What would you tell a Giants fan in terms of how they should feel about the Farhan Zaidi era right now?
Well, I would tell them to trust Farhan. He's a really smart guy. He's a really diligent guy. And he knows how to put a team together. However, obviously, he's going to have to come up with that star that we talked about. It was supposed to be Judge. It was supposed to be Correa. And now you're talking about Ohtani. I mean, that's going to have to happen if the Giants are going to get to where they need to go long term. And that's going to be Farhan's job to do that. So it's not an incomplete, because, you know, he had an amazing year 2 years ago with a team that he put together. So I would stay the course. I would have faith in him, because I think he's going to figure this out.
Tim, great stuff, man. We really appreciate you hanging with us.
Okay, fellas. You take care.
All right. You too.
Thanks, Tim.
That's Tim Kirkchin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.